We talked about like things like knowing your audience and solving sponsor problems, but follow through. There are things where I see nonprofits often not optimizing their opportunity. That is following through on the promises you make in the sponsorship. Because when an agency like us, when we're helping a sponsor evaluate a sponsorship, the place where you live or die is, did you follow through on what you promised to provide the sponsor? And so when we're helping a sponsor evaluate an opportunity on an existing sponsorship, a huge red flag was that the nonprofit did or did not follow through on what they promised.
Are you looking for ways to shorten your marketing learning curve and help your organization survive and thrive? Welcome to Relish This, the Purpose Marketing Podcast, a show for purpose-focused leaders who want to use marketing techniques to fuel their organization's growth. If you're a returning listener and you haven't subscribed already, we'd love to have you. Also, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Now here's your host, author and marketing specialist, Stu Swinefort.
Hey, Relish This podcast listeners. Thanks for listening and joining me today. My guest today is Ken Unger, and he is the president and founder of Change, which is this really amazing organization out of Indiana that does sponsorship coaching and consultation. So if you are in the market for adding a sponsor to your organization, typically your nonprofit, looking for a corporate sponsor, for example, this is an episode for you. I took like three pages of notes while Ken and I were chatting. Just some amazing things to understand and be familiar with before you leap into the sponsorship space. So sponsorships are a two-way street. A lot of times nonprofits get caught up in the idea of the money, the revenue that would be coming in through a sponsorship opportunity, and lose track of what their responsibility is in this relationship. If this episode can help you figure that out before you jump in the deep end and create a misaligned sponsorship or create one that is really more of a donation or an advertising event, you're going to be thrilled to have spent the time today to listen to Ken and I discuss all the ins and outs of sponsorship for nonprofits. So enjoy the episode. I think Ken is just nailing it. So here we go. Good afternoon, Ken. How are you today?
Great, Stu. How are you?
I am well. Where are you coming from on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
So Charge is based in very cold Indianapolis, Indiana.
It's cold there today. We have fortunately been experiencing some warmer weather. I think this show airs in March, so we might be have the same going on at that point. But that's awesome.
That sounds right.
Well, tell us a little bit about Charge and what you guys are up to over there.
So we are a sponsorship consulting firm. We have clients all over the U.S. and some clients abroad. About 70% of our work is sponsorship related to sports. And then the other 30% is sponsorship related to the arts, education, social justice, healthcare, economic development, really things in the nonprofit sector. And we help both sponsors and what we call properties, people who sell sponsorship, make their sponsorship better.
Yeah, that's great. I know that corporate sponsorship in the nonprofit world is a huge thing. And it can be a real challenge with nonprofits. One of the things we've seen a lot is a disconnect between the corporate sponsor and what the nonprofit is doing, and which doesn't really serve either group as well as one might expect. How do you achieve alignment? What are some of the things that you recommend people do to make sure that they're getting the most out of their sponsorship opportunities?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it, as we work with nonprofits, a lot of it starts with a mindset. You know, if we kind of back up, the definition of sponsorship is really a promotional relationship between two organizations where the sponsor is paying for the right to use the property, in this case, the nonprofit's intellectual property, their name, their logo, You know, it's really that pride of association. But mm-hmm. both sides, both the nonprofit and the sponsor, are promoting each other. So that key part of sponsorship is it's a co-promotional relationship. And I think that's the most important thing for nonprofits to start with, is that it starts with the fact that it's not just the sponsor promoting the nonprofit. The nonprofit has to be ready, willing, and able to promote the sponsor as well.
Yeah, that's definitely something to keep in the back of one's mind. I think one of the challenges is nonprofits are always looking for revenue, and jumping at that opportunity to just bring in revenue if there's not an alignment and a real passion there, it seems like that can be a huge pitfall. Do you have exercises that you run people through that help them figure out good corporate sponsor targets?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things embedded in that, Stu. And I think the first thing is we help nonprofits go through what's called a sponsorship policy. So before any nonprofit should engage in sponsorship, they really need to start with a policy of, what are the right opportunities? What are the wrong opportunities? And this is a pretty broad-based process. It's not only the executive director and his or her staff, but it's the entire board. So the board of the nonprofit, it participates as well. And through this process, you talk about policy issues that make good sponsorships and potentially sponsorship opportunities that should be avoided. And all this is done at the outset, right? So the worst thing that could happen is discussions start with a potential sponsor, and then there's a determination that there isn't a fit or there isn't alignment. So the nonprofit goes through this process early on mm-hmm. and vets these opportunities really hypothetically before they have the first real discussion. And from that, they come up with a sponsorship policy which guides them in talking to certain sponsors, and it helps them avoid other potential sponsors to not speak to.
Yeah, it really creates a focus and rules around kind of even the initial engagement where you make sure that you're not wasting anyone's time, the sponsor or the nonprofits at the onset. That's a really smart way of tackling that issue, so that you're not going down a road that you really don't want to travel.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some of the other pitfalls that you see? Even, if people have figured out the alignment, is it, is the next step really trying to hammer out what the sponsorship entails and what the value exchange is?
Yeah. So, and that often drives the type of sponsors that nonprofits should pursue as well. And let me explain that. So, basically a sponsorship is a sponsor is an organization that has some kind of business problem. So they either want to increase sales, they want to enhance their brand, they want to increase brand awareness. So as part of their marketing mix, the sponsor has decided that sponsorship is a viable marketing strategy. But really, at the outset, they're trying to solve a business problem. So in terms of that relationship between nonprofit and a potential sponsor, the nonprofit needs to identify what that problem is. And sometimes that's obvious. You could read in the newspaper, certain brands are coming to market, or, you're seeing a company with a branding problem, and you can approach them if your organization can help them solve that particular problem through sponsorship. But other times it's just a process of asking the sponsor what their problem is. Mm-hmm. And so through that process, there's really a give and take in a discussion process where the nonprofit is helping through sponsorship that sponsor solve that business problem. And so we see this a lot, and really with the COVID-19 pandemic, we see this even more. As consumers demand that for-profit companies engage in socially responsible activities, mm-hmm. either their CSR, their corporate social responsibility process, or really just through their operations in general, companies are looking to engage in what we call purpose-driven sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Now that's gonna lead in a direct line to a nonprofit. Let me give an example. if you have a company that is packaging its products and it wants to align with its sustainability or fighting climate change through CO2 emission reduction, then that company, from a purpose-driven sponsorship relationship, is probably going to use recycled packaging, either in the first instance, or they're going to make their packaging susceptible to recycling. Well, that's going to be a great partner for a recycling nonprofit.
Right.
And so those two organizations can align. And that's an example of when that recycling nonprofit knows that that company is engaging in the process of recycling or the circular economy, they can approach them about a purpose-driven sponsorship where they both agree to promote the other. And then the nonprofit is earning a revenue stream as the sponsor uses the nonprofit's name and image.
Yeah, it's amazing too how when you start really looking into those assets that are coming to the table. So the nonprofit has their user group, and the corporate sponsor might have theirs. If you can create opportunities to leverage those two groups to bring awareness to each of the other partners, that's where I think a lot of the magic really starts to happen. So there's certainly an opportunity for monetary exchange, but both groups need to be able to benefit, right?
Exactly. And Stu, you're making a really important point. So I want to pause on that for a second, because it's super important that the nonprofit knows its audience. You know, we can call it user group, audience, it's every really kind of person or group that is a fan of that nonprofit. So it is the group of donors. It's the people who follow the social media of the nonprofit. It's the people who receive email newsletters to the nonprofit. All of those constitute what we call in the sponsorship area the audience of the nonprofit. And really, that is the most important asset that the nonprofit has. And so you're exactly right when you say that really you're exposing the sponsor's brand to the nonprofit's audience. And in turn, the sponsor is exposing the nonprofit, its mission, its quest for impact, all of those things to the sponsor's audience, to all of its customers. So that's where the win-win comes in sponsorship, which is actually the aspect of sponsorship that I enjoy the most.
Yeah. How often do you see – so, if we kind of go back to motivations, right, and if the nonprofit – is engaging with a list of potential corporate sponsors, trying to make sure that there's mission alignment as well as kind of motivation alignment. Is that how you recommend nonprofits start that process?
Yeah, there has to be the missions have to be aligned, and they have to be aligned authentically. And that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen in the market in the last decade. Is, we'll go back to corporate social responsibility. We saw kind of a decade plus ago a lot of lip service to that. So there was a lot of inauthentic behavior that was going on the corporate side. And that posed a lot of risk for nonprofits, because as advocacy organizations, nonprofits, that's kind of the most important asset that they have is their voice and their ability to be unbiased advocates of their mission. And so over the last decade, what you've seen is a real authentic dedication to a lot of the socially responsible behavior on the corporate side. And so kind of sussing that out between both nonprofit and their corporate partner, the potential corporate partner, to determine authenticity, to determine mission alignment, all those things are a great start to the relationship and really become the foundation of successful marketing down the road.
Yeah, I'm guessing most people are hearing what we're saying and thinking, oh, like greenwashing, where you have, companies who maybe don't have a great environmental track record coming in and creating sponsorship opportunities or engaging in sponsorship opportunities with someone who you know, who may be working in that space only to kind of take away the attention from what they've been doing in a negative capacity in that space.
And that's a great point. And that's, you know, greenwashing is something kind of that when the red flag, red alert goes off in the nonprofit discussion. How there's one caveat to that, though, and I'd want to mention it. And that's there may be companies that have horrible track records, but that have seen the light.
Yeah.
And finding that opportunity takes a lot of patience and a lot of digging, because that's where the real magic can be. Because that company, if they've truly seen the light, they're going to spend a lot of marketing resource to kind of reform their reputation. Again, if it's honest and authentic, and that's an opportunity for a nonprofit to really get on board and help them down the road after they've seen the light.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's authenticity and there's, you know, somebody just trying to leverage an opportunity. And yeah, being able to suss that out is super important. Are there tactics or techniques that you have for nonprofits to be able to kind of see through that?
that part of it from my experience with nonprofits, executive directors and their staffs have a high sensitivity on the BS meter.
Yep.
So I don't think they need training from a sponsorship consultancy to kind of understand authentic versus inauthentic partners.
Right.
But having that, the one advice I'd give is have the conversation and be frank. Don't worry about quote blowing the deal unquote. You know, because I'd rather kill a deal up front that wasn't meant to be. Then kind of gloss over some troubling points, some pinch points, and get in trouble either towards the end of a relation or the end of a discussion when a lot of time has been invested, or worse, after the contract's been signed.
Right. So what do you and your team do to help facilitate these conversations, to help kind of get these deals across the finish line? How does a consultant work or help a nonprofit as they're trying to land a corporate sponsor?
Yeah, it's a lot of coaching and training on our side. So what we don't do, for example, we are not sponsorship brokers. So we're not out there knocking on doors,
mm-hmm.
And looking for sponsors on behalf of our clients. We teach them, you know, best practices and coach them through this process. So what we'll do with a nonprofit is it starts with that mindset of going through sponsorship 101 and talking about, you know, what makes a good sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
What are those things that sponsors want to accomplish, and how do they accomplish it through sponsorship? And then what we'll do is we'll talk about the value proposition, how to help a nonprofit identify the, you know, what is valuable about what they do that they can use as a sponsorship. Too often, I think nonprofits default into what I call the traditional models, you know, a sponsorship that's part of a gala, you know, a charitable gala,
mm-hmm.
or a 5K race, or, you know, those things that we see most often. And what happens is a lot of those times, those are not really sponsorship. They're more like advertising positions that they'll sell. You know, they'll sell kind of a program ad,
right,
for a charity gala. And that's really an advertisement if it's not a co-promotional relationship. That is, if they're not promoting each other back and forth. But we'll help them identify that value proposition so that, again, knowing how to speak the language of sponsorship will take the nonprofit a long way in creating really lucrative sponsorship relationships. So we'll start with their value proposition. We'll talk about the assets they have. And that could be assets for nonprofit sponsorship, can be, a sponsorship position on their website, or sponsorship of an email campaign,
mm-hmm.
or all those different assets that they have where the nonprofit is reaching its audience. And then we'll talk through what those assets are worth, because pricing a sponsorship are things that often confound, you know, whether nonprofit or for-profit sponsorship sellers. Knowing the right price to ask,
right,
is often confusing. And so we'll kind of, you know, strip away all the you know, kind of confusion around that and get to the nub of what's the right price to ask for your sponsorship. And then we'll talk about the prospecting process. That is where, you know, how can they find sponsors? Where can they find them? How to build their list of prospects and how to go after those sponsors.
Yeah, I know that corporate sponsorship and you know, those types of relationships usually fall on the executive director's plate, or you know, if it's a larger organization, they might have a sponsorship a person in charge of that particular role. Does it start with like a ideal target list or ideal sponsor list and kind of go from there? What are some of the techniques that you recommend EDs participate in to, you know, to start this process or to be as successful as they can be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are two different tracks. One's the kind of the traditional track of how anyone, including a nonprofit, would sell a sponsorship. And the other is unique to nonprofits, you know, and purpose-driven sponsorship. So let's kind of break down both of those. So on the traditional sponsorship, you look for really, you know, companies that share your audience. So knowing your audience is mm-hmm. super important. And there are two aspects to that. So one is the demographic composition of your audience. That is, those are aspects of your audience that generally don't change, is their age, their gender, race, geography, all those things that are demographic, like who are your audience? Does your nonprofit align with millennials and Gen Z? Or does your nonprofit kind of align with an older demographic, with boomers and with Gen X?
Right.
So knowing your demographic composition of your audience, super important. And then the second part of knowing your audience is psychographic, which is, what are their values? What are the hobbies that they have? What are those you know, things that they do with their spare time? Their buying habits, are they in the market for cars, or are they about to buy appliances? But knowing your audience as much as you can is the starting place for prospecting, because once you know that, you look for sponsors that align with your audience. So if your audience is older, say, you know, boomers and Gen X, you wouldn't go after sponsors who necessarily sell things like energy drinks,
right?
Or products that are sold to a younger audience. You're looking for companies whose customers can be found in your audience. And so that's the traditional way that all sponsor hunters start creating their hit list of prospects, is by just creating that match between your audience and theirs. Then there are other techniques. You know, when I'm advising clients, you look at companies that have issues that they're trying to solve that you can find by looking in the local your local, regional, or national media. Companies that are introducing new products. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy lift. So they're often looking for sponsorship to help them with those product or brand introductions. You look for companies that are relocating to your area. So they're new to your region, they're new to your market, and you as a nonprofit are established in that market. You have high brand recognition. You can help that company that's new to your market introduce their product, service, or their company to that market through sponsorship. So those are kind of the ways on the traditional side that you build your prospect list. Then on the purpose-driven sponsorship, that's easy, because you know what your mission is, you know what impact you're trying to achieve. You look for companies that are engaged from a social responsibility perspective in the same mission as you are. And often where we advise clients to go, nonprofit clients to go, is there are a number of directories, and they're growing by the day, of corporate social responsibility reports that companies are publishing their social responsibility reports. And Stu, I can provide some links for your audience that you can include in the show notes if they're interested in finding those websites where those reports exist.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But that's the way that sponsorship, that that nonprofits are finding sponsors that are pursuing the same mission as them. Once you do that, it's not a question of just, hey, my mission aligns with yours. Do you want to sponsor me? It's
right.
You have to work towards, you know, through this process, what problem can I help you, the sponsor, solve? Because the sponsor's paying money, so they do expect a return on investment of some kind. You have to come to the table with some ideas about how you're going to help them solve their problem. And essentially, between traditional prospecting and that purpose-driven prospecting, that's the way you build a hit list, and then you hit the bricks and contact these potential sponsors, and have the same kinds of conversations that you have with your donors or prospective.
Right. So I'm thinking like a nonprofit like Big City Mountaineers, who helps provide kind of transformative experiences into nature for inner city kids. Those guys might want to reach out to someone in the outdoor or recreation space who are who have some DEI initiatives. That would be kind of a good mix for a potential sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example, Stu. And I think you can cut that into three slices, right? So it's an outdoor equipment company that has DEI initiatives. It could be just an outdoor company that doesn't necessarily have DEI initiatives. That's the second one. Or a company that has DEI initiatives but doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And so you've got here three different opportunities with that one example that you gave, Stu, of how to align on a purpose-driven sponsorship.
Right. One of the things that we've done with at least I've had Annie on my show. It's an organization called Tapcat, and they do sweepstakes. They run sweepstakes for nonprofits where the sweepstakes are driving donations. And one of the things we've seen be really successful to really launch a successful sweeps is when there is really great alignment with not only the prize, but the nonprofit's mission and the kind of the access to a mailing list of a corporate sponsor of that nonprofit. So that becomes this additional asset or this additional opportunity where I'll use an example from one of their sweeps that ran last year that I believe was very successful. And it was an organization that I believe was in the kind of snow safety realm. So they did avalanche awareness and reporting, and one of their corporate sponsors was Climb, which is an outdoor apparel company that does like adventure sports, motorsports apparel stuff, a really large apparel company and equipment company. And they put a snowmobile, a snow sled up for the prize of the sweeps, and the alignment between Climb's audience and the prize, as well as the mission of the organization, just produced really great results because, you know, Climb was able to send, advertisements or whatever you want to call it, send information about the sweepstakes out to its base of email recipients and really help promote that particular sweepstakes really effectively.
I love that example because it has benefit and alignment on both ends, right? It creates the reason that you market for both sides because it is so on brand. Let's see. Take that example and put the grand prize as, tickets to a baseball game, to a baseball suite. And that had none of the benefit, none of the cachet that snowmobile had because it wasn't aligned. And so that's a great example of a potential activation around a sponsorship that could really, really work for both parties.
Yeah. So do you do kind of I'm assuming your team kind of coaches both ends of the spectrum. Do you talk with corporate sponsors on how to try to seek out opportunities for their sponsorship?
Absolutely. We work with both sponsors and properties. It's not dissimilar, right? Because you're looking for the same characteristics on both sides. Mm-hmm. But we'll help sponsors kind of find those right opportunities. And it's often more difficult for, believe it or not, more difficult for sponsors because there are many, many, many more sellers of sponsorship than buyers.
Right.
So if you're a sponsor, you are deluged with thousands of opportunities. And with those opportunities come a lot of them, which are not in alignment, won't help you, will be just a money drain on your marketing budget.
Yep.
So kind of, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff on that is so important. So we have sponsor clients that we work with in evaluating sponsorships from that perspective. And then we'll help sponsors evaluate their sponsorship. And that's something, so I'll mention that because that's something that that nonprofits should be aware of. I think we talked about like things like knowing your audience and solving sponsor problems, but follow through. There are things where I see nonprofits often not optimizing their opportunity. That is following through on the promises you make in the sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Because when an agency like us, when we're helping a sponsor evaluate a sponsorship, the place where you live or die is, did you follow through on what you promised to provide the sponsor? And so when we're helping a sponsor evaluate an opportunity on an existing sponsorship, a huge red flag was that the nonprofit did or did not follow through on what they promised.
Right. So it's all about kind of committing and then being able to produce those materials, for lack of a better word, right. that you've promised to both, you know, go in both directions, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. I remember on Home Shopping Network or somewhere, this meat roaster, which was the tagline was "Set it and forget it."
Right.
And so this is not a case of set it and forget it.
Right.
And so after you sign the contract and you get the check, that's where the sponsorship begins, not ends.
Right.
So don't set it and forget it.
Yeah, I can see that. It's interesting. I could see how how just like getting too much of a good thing, you know, having a mismatch and miscommunication at the onset of a sponsorship opportunity could really be incredibly painful for both sides. But, you know, if a nonprofit has created the wrong type of relationship there, you know, they might be stuck with a lot of work that they don't have the capacity to accomplish, through this new engagement.
Yeah, and that's why for nonprofit clients, one of the tips that we offer is, I don't care if you're a 3-person nonprofit or a 300 employee nonprofit, who is responsible for sponsorship fulfillment, right? It could be in the example of a 3-person operation, I don't really care how small they are, but one or more of those persons should be specifically tasked with fulfilling sponsorship, mm-hmm. or it won't happen. And so being really formal internally about that to say, you know, listen, XYZ staff member, you know, he or she is going to be responsible for fulfilling these promises. That's critical right at the outset. Or what you find is like at the end, everybody's pointing fingers that I thought you were going to do it. No, I thought you were going to do it. And right. It doesn't happen.
Right. That's that's super important. I think, you know, that goes toward that's great advice for kind of everything in one's arsenal is, you know, making sure that somebody ultimately has the responsibility for that and is being held accountable for getting, you know, whatever promises were being made accomplished.
And I get it, Stu. I'm on the board of a relatively small nonprofit. So it's all hands on deck and all the staffers are utility infielders. And so I get the challenge of a nonprofit because I live it, you know, every day in that capacity. So all that has to happen is if you're getting the resource, if you're getting the money, that comes the responsibility of fulfillment.
Yeah. So that's actually an interesting segue or additional topic of conversation would be for a small nonprofit who's just, you know, starting to explore this idea of, well, could we bring in a corporate sponsor to help drive revenue and potential outreach and all of the other great things that come with those types of engagements. What are some of the things that you would recommend that they do first to make sure that they're either, you know, not getting in over their head or able to you know, fulfill on that opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question, Stu. And I generally start with a concept that's called sponsorship readiness. And so the issue is, are you ready as a nonprofit to be a great sponsor? Would somebody, or to be a great property, would someone want to sponsor you? And simply put, that comes with effective marketing. So the effective marketing part is, are you really good at social media marketing? And do you, you know, how many followers do you have, you know, for your Twitter account, for Facebook? And are you really good at email marketing? And do you exploit public relations and media relations opportunities? And how is your website? And how many unique visitors do you have to your website? All of those things I call sponsorship readiness. Mm-hmm. But like on your end and your business, Stu, you would just call great marketing.
Sure.
And, right? And it's whether it's digital marketing or any other discipline. Because here's the truth. You know, a sponsor is using you as a marketing platform. So the question is, are you a good marketing platform? And often, except in the cases of like purpose-driven sponsorship, and we talked about that earlier, if you're not a good marketing platform, that is, if you don't have a robust audience, and if you don't have, you know, the ability to talk to that audience well, you're not going to be a good candidate for sponsorship. So the first thing before you sell sponsorship is to make sure that your marketing house is in order. And that's like working with, you know, companies like yours and having internal staff that's really good and talented at marketing. And I know that's a challenge, especially in smaller nonprofits. I get it. Again, I'm on the board of a nonprofit that, you know, kind of works through those issues every day.
Right.
But before you start on marketing, it's, are you proud of your sponsorship? Are you proud of your marketing platform? Because that's the first thing a prospect's going to look at. And they might not tell you that your baby is ugly, but you'll find out when they don't call you back or when they don't respond to your email. And you know, on our website, and again, I can provide the link in your show notes, we have a free sponsorship readiness assessment.
Okay.
So you can go through kind of line by line and answer a questionnaire, and it only takes about 10 minutes. And it's all the different ways that a sponsor is going to look at you.
Yeah.
And when you answer this questionnaire, at the end, it'll give you a score and indicate where you can improve and whether or not, you know, a sponsor would think that you're a good prospect.
Right.
But that's where you start. So it's like counterintuitive. Like you don't start by learning how to sell great sponsorship. You start by learning how to do great marketing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like if you're healthy, you're healthy, right? And all of those things that you do to engage with your audience and to entice and excite your audience to take action and to stay in touch with them and stay in front of them, you know, everything along that stakeholder life cycle, all the way from attract to inspire, is built into a healthy marketing, I guess, deployment, if we want to use that word. And if it's healthy, then it's going to create additional opportunities for you. And if it's not healthy, it's not going to work to do, you know, some of the basic marketing things. And then it's also going to fail you when you're going out trying to engage in new channels like sponsorship. It's really interesting.
And then there's a caveat to that too. And so I said, you know, healthy marketing, you know, we've had clients, including, you know, some of our professional athlete clients and such. I mean, they have millions of Twitter followers. I'm not saying that like nonprofits of any size have to have huge, you know, social media followership. That's not the case. If you have thousands of followers, my question would be, when you speak to them, number one, do they listen and engage?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, can you move them to action because you have such a fantastic relationship with them that if, you know, they tell you to move, you know, 2 feet, you know, they move 2 feet.
Right.
And so that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking in a gross sense, kind of, you know, that you have millions of Twitter followers. That's not what I'm saying. It's are you really, really good at communicating to the audience that you have? And are you really good at building that audience?
Well, and then getting them to take an action.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Because it's not the ego component or the ego metric that is the important one. It's the action metric.
Yeah. I mean, so if I'm on the sponsor side and I see a candidate that shows me how, you know, how they move people to action with every tweet that they make, I stand up and, you know, I take notice of that. And that's important because then when they retweet the sponsor's content, we know that like the sponsor's going to get great value from that.
Mm-hmm.
If that audience pays attention because that nonprofit or for-profit knows how to speak to their audience and cause some action.
Right. Can you share some tips for nonprofits in terms of evaluating a sponsorship opportunity? What are some things that they should be looking at or that are measurable that they can kind of turn to when they're in that negotiation phase of engaging with a sponsor?
Yeah. So there's a couple aspects to that. So first of all, they're going to know the nonprofit's going to know from its audience information, how powerful a hand they have in discussions with a sponsor. So, and that's where things, one thing that I strongly recommend is if through surveys, you're able to understand what your audience, the buying habits of your audience, that's really important when it comes time to have conversations with for-profit sponsors. So for example, if you know that your audience, that they're inclined to buy new cars or they're ready to buy, you know, new appliances, and you know the time frame, like they're in the market to buy a new household appliance within the next 6 months. When you talk to appliance retailers like, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot and, you know, all those other, you know, Best Buy, which is one of the largest, you know, seller of appliances still in the country. When you're having conversations with them, if you know that your audience is ready to buy, you have a strong hand and you can evaluate that you're going to have a good relationship with that sponsor because you can deliver value to them.
Right.
The other thing you need to look at is kind of your ability to reach your audience with your message. And so, again, knowing kind of the engagement rate that you have with the things that the marketing opportunities that you use with your audience, again, that helps you really really evaluate whether or not you could provide value and the strength of that relationship. The flip side of that, Stu, is you want to ask questions. The nonprofit wants to ask questions of the sponsor. How are you going to promote us?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is one of those threshold questions that divides advertising from sponsorship, because if the answer is a blank stare,
right,
the answer is we haven't decided yet, they're either looking at you as an advertising opportunity or a donation, because okay, like, you know, donors don't expect recognition, right? Donors donate for the sake of impact and mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if a prospective sponsor answers that question with, I don't know, they're not going to be a good partner.
Right.
If that prospect says, it's funny you asked, we have this entire campaign that we're ready to launch. Should you become, you know, should we have a sponsorship relationship? Then that's a lot more valuable to the nonprofit, because you're not only getting paid for it, you're getting free marketing.
Right.
So asking that question really, you know, not at the beginning of the discussion, But I'd say midway, like, hey, we've had two or three conversations. What do you think you're going to do with our nonprofit and your marketing? That's an important question, and listen mm-hmm. carefully to the answer.
Yeah, I'm on the board of a local organization here that thinking back, you know, we essentially didn't have those conversations with a few of our sponsors, and those are really just logo placement opportunities as opposed to those relationships that could really further the organization's mission. So there's certainly some missed opportunities there. That's really, really insightful to remind people to be having those conversations, you know, not necessarily at the onset of discussion, but at least have them at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so like a threshold question that I ask, like either talking to a for-profit or not-for-profit client is I'll say, who are your current sponsors? Mm-hmm. They'll give us a list, and then we'll go to the website of each of those sponsors and see if the nonprofit is listed, right. is listed as a relationship.
Right.
If the nonprofit makes no appearance either on the website, on the partners page, or in a press release, or in a social media, you know, feed, they're not really a spot. They're not. There isn't really a sponsorship.
Right. It's just a donation or a advertising opportunity that they saw.
Exactly. That's again my example earlier about galas or 5Ks. Mm-hmm. Like, look, see if all those companies are promoting that.
Right.
Like, see if that company is promoting, hey, we're a sponsor, you know, of the Unger nonprofit 5K.
Right.
If the answer is no, they're not really a sponsor.
Right. So as nonprofits are starting this conversation, really thinking about all of the ways that the sponsor could be engaged with that nonprofit. So really thinking through not just the monetary, you know, sponsorship piece, but what are the other ways that the nonprofit could get some promotional opportunities alongside this partnership would be a way to frame that initial contract and engagement.
Yeah, here's the incredibly exciting opportunity of that. So right now, kind of what you and I do, Stu, there are 120 different marketing channels,
right?
Which is
at least
crazy when you think about it, right? Because the explosion of digital in the last 10 to 20 years has really just, you know, increased that exponentially. Mm-hmm. So if a company has 120 plus ways to promote itself, a home run, I mean, this never happens, but I'm just using, you know, exaggeration as an example.
Right.
If the nonprofit is promoted in every one of those channels, home run.
Right.
Right. But what you want to do is just ask, right? And it never hurts to ask. It's through the process of having the conversation, you're going to learn, you know, this particular company, they get the most bang for their buck through digital. So the question that you want to ask is, hey, and if you do banner ads, can you dedicate some of your banner ads to your relationship with us?
Mm-hmm.
That XYZ sponsor is the official, you know, and then list the categories, the official sponsor of the Unger charity, of
right.
the Unger nonprofit.
Right.
And dedicate, you know, let's say if like month of May. So I'll give you an example. The nonprofit that I'm on the board is a skin cancer prevention and awareness nonprofit. And May is melanoma awareness month. So if that nonprofit is talking to a sponsor, May is really important to that sponsor. Or to that nonprofit.
Right.
You ask a sponsor, listen, when you're advertising digitally, because I know that works for you, can you dedicate some portion of your banner ads to us, to the nonprofit, to highlight your relationship with us?
Right.
And usually those conversations are slam dunks, as in, like, of course we would.
Right.
Because it aligns with what they do. They do digital marketing. They're doing their stuff in May. So why wouldn't they do it for us if they have a relationship with us?
Right.
And so you really kind of align with every channel possible that the for-profit does. Now, they're not going to, no sponsor is going to give you access to everything that they do.
Right.
But if the relationship is valuable, you'd be surprised by how many channels they will dedicate to you.
Right. Right. So for a small nonprofit that's just kind of getting started in this, where do you think they should start in terms of trying to evaluate, their end of that relationship?
Yeah. So if you're just getting started, you kind of step back and you kind of look at your overall mission and how you're creating impact. Because listen, nonprofits aren't necessarily looking for revenue enhancement. They're looking for revenue as a way to increase impact.
Right.
Right. So, you have generally, two other major sources of revenue. You have fundraising and you have grants. Mm-hmm. And so if you're new to this and you want to add sponsorship as a third powerful way to kind of, enhance your impact, the question number one is, can we handle it?
Right. Right?
Do we have bandwidth internally that we have people who can learn how to do sponsorship? Once they learn how to do sponsorship, they have time to do the exact same thing that fundraising development executives do. Do they have time to do that? And then finally, after they do the deal, do they have time to fulfill it?
Right.
And so having that conversation internally, within the staff is really important.
Right.
Then as you kind of approach the board with that, we find our clients, have to tee up that sponsorship policy discussion that we talked about. Because I think, boards are generally of two minds, right? You have board members who come from the for-profit sector who think that this is a fantastic idea.
Right.
Because that's where they come from. And so right. They see this as an opportunity to tap, the markets that they come from. Then you have kind of board members who align mainly with the service, side of the nonprofit, or they come from academia, or they come from various ways. And they're more concerned about the advocacy aspect of it. So they're concerned about inauthentic relationships mm-hmm. or hurting the nonprofit by aligning right. with sponsors that can hurt their image. And so we recommend, once the staff determines that they can handle it, tee up that sponsorship policy discussion early, as in, hey, we're going to talk about a policy as a board and as a staff before we even consider selling sponsorship. When you do that, you kind of inoculate that whole issue and you make the sponsorship discussion much more open and much more honest, because you kind of laid your cards on the table that sponsorship may not be for everyone, but we're going to have that discussion up front.
Right.
And so after you do those two things, the next part is, if you're not skilled at sponsorship, don't start without training. And I'm not saying you need to contact a consulting firm like ours. There are how-to books. There's how-to resources on the internet. We even mm-hmm. have how-to resources on our website on chargesponsorship.com. And so get the help that you need to approach it kind of in the best foot forward with best practices. Because like in a lot of areas involving sales, there's a lot of ways to waste your time and money. And the thing that we hate to see clients do is spin their wheels.
Right.
So find, no matter whether it's free resource or paid resource, find the help you need to get started.
Yeah, it's really funny. You mentioned the board mindsets the first being, why wouldn't we do this? It's free, it's free exposure and free money. And then the other group being like, well, how is this gonna become a problem for us? And then there's probably a third group that's thinking, well, how are we gonna screw this up? And so like trying to figure out where the Venn diagram of the overlap of those three groups is, that sweet spot of dubious concern and unbridled optimism, coupled with reality, right?
And that is the beauty of hashtag board life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that, it's just amazing. I think that, that teeing up the idea that sponsorship isn't for everybody is really important, because it does feel like one of those things. It's like, well, why wouldn't we get a corporate sponsor? But yeah, if you're not teed up well and you're not ready for it, it could be a really detrimental engagement for you and your team.
Yeah. It has to have the right mindset. So if that doesn't exist, and I'm not being critical, but there's still, to a certain extent, a little bit of, I don't know, there's a little bit of us and them mentality in terms of for-profit and nonprofit. Mm-hmm. That some of the nonprofit space look at the for-profit side, you know, as evil, money-grubbing, people who hurt the cause, that aren't people who are out there to help the cause. Mm-hmm. And so alignment with that, why would I align with, you know, companies that do X, Y, Z? There's still a little bit of that mindset, a negative mm-hmm. mindset. So if that exists, fine. Like, I'm not being critical of it. If that exists, fine. Sponsorship may not be right for you, because it's co-promotion.
Right.
So if you're not ready to promote the sponsor, then don't do it.
Right. Then
there are plenty of I know there are not enough hours in a day to operate a nonprofit as it is. So there are plenty of things to keep you occupied without doing sponsorship. So don't do it.
Yeah, there are a lot of other opportunities. And I would say, as you've identified, getting your house in order in other aspects of your engagement, whether that's marketing or, just polishing donor outreach, making sure that things are firing on all cylinders would be the first step of this anyway. That'll open up better, healthier sponsorship opportunities in the future, while also building that foundation that's going to just help you on a day-to-day aspect as well.
Exactly. And as you do that, you remember that, the golden ring in all this is the fact that, would I want to get paid for use of my name and likeness and get free marketing? Yes, I would.
Right.
So that to me is the magic of sponsorship. That to me is different than fundraising and grants. And so if a nonprofit can add that to their arsenal, they're not only creating more impact through more revenue, but they're also they're redoubling and tripling and quadrupling their marketing impact. So, their ability to create impact and to further their mission expands exponentially. That's the golden ring of sponsorship.
That's amazing. Well, how can people find out more about what you guys are up to in this space and see if they're, if there's a good fit to work with them?
Yeah, so you can find us at chargesponsorship.com, one word, chargesponsorship.com. And for your audience, Stu, we have some free resources specifically tailored for nonprofits. So if they go to chargesponsorship.com/free stuff, one word, free stuff, they'll find a variety of a free resource, including our nonprofit corporate sponsorship directory, which has a whole list of resources that we've created and that others have created around the internet to help nonprofits get started and to engage in best practices and sponsorships so they can make magic happen too.
Oh, that's a great resource for people to tap into. I would encourage everyone to go check it out at chargesponsorship.com/free stuff and see how you can perhaps engage in a sponsorship that'll be fruitful for your organization here in 2022.
That's awesome. Hey, Stu, thanks for the opportunity to chat with you. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I do have one more question.
Oh, sure.
So I love having conversations, and on the show, I get to sit down with great experts in the space like you and learn so much and be able to share that with my audience. And one of the things I really want to do is make sure that that this podcast enables people to experience the idea of all talk and no action is maybe not the best policy. And so I always ask at the end of each show, if there was one thing that you wanted people to do, one takeaway or one action to take after listening to the show, what would you have them do?
Know your audience. I would want them to go back and I'd want them to survey their membership, survey the people on their email list, survey their social media followers, and know their audience in and out and who they are, where they live, everything about them. So you can carry that audience to a sponsor and make magic happen.
That's amazing. Everybody out there, go get in touch with your audience, get to know them even better, and leverage the opportunities that are just hidden within that. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Ken. It was really fantastic talking with you. I really appreciate it.
Stu, I had a great time, so thank you.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And there you have it, another great episode of Relish This. Thanks again for listening. You can find past episodes of the show at relishthis.org. And remember, if you liked what you heard today, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information on purpose marketing, grab your free copy of my book, Mission Uncomfortable: How Nonprofits Can Embrace Purpose-Driven Marketing to Survive and Thrive. Get your copy now at missionuncomfortablebook.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back next week, won't you?